Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Chapters of Growth podcast. You know, we love diving into books that are just full of life lessons that can really make a difference. And today's deep dive is no exception. We are going to be cracking open The Richest Man in Babylon, a classic that has been guiding people looking to improve their financial lives for almost a century.
It's incredible how this book has really stood the test of time. You know, what I think is so captivating about it is that it delivers these financial wisdoms, but it does it through these engaging parables. Set in ancient Babylon, it's not your typical dry economic theory. It's like storytelling.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here to unpack today. So we're going on a mission here to extract the most valuable, actionable lessons from The Richest Man in Babylon, those little nuggets of wisdom that can really help you level up your financial game.
One of the most fundamental yet often overlooked principles that the book emphasizes is the power of saving. You know that idea of paying yourself first?
Right. It's all about Arkad's famous 10% rule, right? Where he says, put aside a tenth of your income before anything else. I'll be honest, when I first read that, I was like, 10%. Easier said than done. How can you possibly save when it feels like you're barely making ends meet?
That's a very common reaction. And the book addresses this head on. Do you remember the analogy of each coin being a little slave, working tirelessly to earn more money for you?
Oh, yeah, that's such a brilliant way to reframe saving. It's not about depriving yourself. It's about building an army of wealth-generating slaves. But does the book give any modern-day examples of this actually working? Like real people using this 10% rule to achieve financial success?
Absolutely. The story of the young egg merchant who consistently saves a portion of his earnings. He starts small, but that dedication to saving, no matter the amount, leads to significant wealth over time. The book even mentions a modern example of a British professor and his wife who successfully tackled their debt using this very principle.
Those stories are so encouraging. It's like if they could tell it, we can too, right? It really boils down to forming the habit, no matter how small that initial step is. Speaking of habits, the book also digs into that crucial difference between needs and wants.
Exactly. The Richest Man in Babylon urges us to really take a hard look at our expenses and really discern those true necessities from those desires. You know, the book highlights how easily wants can disguise themselves as needs.
Oh, I've been there. Like that time I convinced myself that I needed that top-of-the-line coffee maker. Even though my old one worked perfectly fine, it's so easy to fall into that trap.
We've all been there. But the book offers practical guidance on breaking that cycle. Remember the story of Arkad advising the young egg merchant? He emphasized living comfortably on 90% of his income while diligently saving the remaining 10%.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not about depriving yourself, but being intentional with your spending. And this is where The Richest Man of Babylon shines right. It doesn't advocate for a life of penny-pinching misery. It's about finding that balance between enjoying life and building financial security.
Precisely. The book emphasizes savoring life while simultaneously paving the way for a secure future. It's about mindful spending, enabling us to achieve both financial stability and a fulfilling life. And speaking of paving the way for a secure future, the book introduces the 5 Laws of Gold. Arkad shares these with his son Nomasir as guiding principles for building wealth, almost like a financial roadmap.
Okay, I'm all ears. Break down these laws of gold for us. What's the gist?
Think of it this way. 1, seek expert advice. Don't navigate the financial world alone. Tap into the wisdom of those who have experience and knowledge in the areas that you're interested in. 2, protect your principal. Avoid risky ventures where you could lose your initial investment. Safety and steady growth should be your priorities. 3, invest in familiar ventures. Don't put your money into something you don't understand. The book really stresses knowing the ins and outs of the business you're investing in. 4, exercise patience and discipline. Building wealth takes time. Steer clear of those tempting get-rich-quick schemes and focus on consistent long-term growth.
Wow, those are powerful. It's amazing how relevant these principles remain. Even thousands of years later, they're just as applicable today as they were in ancient Babylon. And speaking of which, if you're finding these insights intriguing, and I bet you are, we encourage you to check out the link in the description to get your own copy of The Richest Man in Babylon. Trust me, it's a game changer.
Absolutely, it's an investment in your financial future. Now let's dive back into those 5 laws. We touched on the importance of seeking expert advice, and to really illustrate that point, the book shares the story of Rodin, the spear maker.
Wait, was it Rodin the one who received a big reward from the king and then went to Mathon, the gold lender, for advice on managing his newfound wealth.
The one and only. And Mathon was known for his intriguing token box, where he kept tokens representing the stories of his borrowers.
Oh, right. The token box. It was like a tangible collection of financial wisdom, right?
Exactly. It symbolized the importance of learning from both successes and failures in the financial world. So when Rodin approached him for advice, Mathon being the seasoned lender he was, he didn't just hand him a list of investment opportunities. Instead, he emphasized the importance of careful evaluation, protecting capital, and understanding the risks involved.
That's so smart. It sounds like Mathon was guiding Rodin toward making wise decisions rather than rushing into anything based on excitement or promises of quick riches.
Precisely. It's a classic case of slow and steady wins the race when it comes to building wealth.
I love that. And, you know, it reminds me of another story that really struck a chord with me. The journey of Dabasir the Kama Trader.
Ah, Dabasir. His story is a powerful testament to the importance of hard work, perseverance, and unwavering financial discipline.
He goes through some serious challenges, doesn't he? Falling into debt, becoming a slave in Syria. But what sounds inspiring is that he never gives up.
Exactly. His determination to repay his debts and reclaim his freedom is incredibly motivating. He diligently follows Arkad's 10% rule, works tirelessly, and even when he encounters setbacks, he picks himself up and keeps moving forward.
His story is a great example of how, even after financial misfortune, it's possible to rebuild and achieve prosperity through focused effort and smart financial habits. It's like a blueprint for overcoming financial setbacks and regaining control of your financial life.
Absolutely. And, you know, Dabasir's journey reminds me of those cautionary tales of the procrastinating son and the hesitant livestock trader.
Oh, I remember those. They definitely highlight the importance of seizing opportunities when they present themselves. It's like there's this internal battle between our desire for instant gratification and the discipline needed for long-term success. The richest man in Babylon seems to be as much about mastering our mindset as it is about understanding financial principles.
You hit the nail on the head. The book repeatedly emphasizes recognizing and conquering those procrastination tendencies, reminding us that indecision can be just as detrimental as impulsive spending.
These stories and principles are so insightful. And if you're ready to dive even deeper into the world of the richest man in Babylon, don't forget to check out the link in the description where you can grab your copy. It's truly a treasure trove of financial wisdom.
I couldn't agree more. It's a must read for anyone looking to achieve financial well-being.
So are you ready to uncover more fascinating parables and timeless lessons from this incredible book?
Absolutely. Let's continue our deep dive and explore the wisdom that awaits us in The Richest Man in Babylon.
Okay, so we've talked about saving and separating needs from wants and even touched on those five laws of gold. What other financial gems does The Richest Man in Babylon have in store for us?
Well, one of the most inspiring stories in the book revolves around Nomasir, Arkad's son. Remember, he's given a bag of gold and tasked with proving his worthiness to inherit his father's wealth by using those five laws of gold.
Right. Nomasir's journey is really a story of resilience and learning from mistakes, isn't it? He doesn't have it easy at first.
He certainly doesn't. He stumbles, makes some poor choices, and even loses all his gold at one point. It's a reminder that even with the best guidance, we're all human and prone to missteps along the way.
His experience is so relatable. We've all had those what am I doing wrong moments. But Nomasir doesn't let those setbacks define him, does he?
Not at all. He remembers the wisdom his father shared, those five laws of gold, and starts applying them diligently. He gets a job supervising the construction of the city wall, commits to saving consistently, and then a golden opportunity emerges.
This is where it gets interesting. What was this opportunity, and how did Nomasir seize it?
His boss, recognizing Nomasir's work ethic and growing financial savvy, reveals his plan to corner the market on bronze. Bronze, as it turns out, will be in high demand for the upcoming construction of the city gates.
That's a brilliant strategy. So did Nomasir jump on board? What kind of risks did he have to weigh?
He did, but not blindly. He assessed the situation, recognized the potential for a significant return, and combined his savings with his boss's capital to secure a large supply of bronze. When the demand surged as predicted, the king paid handsomely for their stockpile, and Nomasir's initial investment multiplied considerably.
Wow, that's a fantastic example of how preparation meets opportunity. It wasn't just luck. It was about putting himself in a position to capitalize when the right moment arrived.
Exactly. Nomasir's story highlights how following sound financial principles can lead to what we often perceive as good luck. It's about creating those opportunities through wise decision-making and calculated risks.
It's a powerful reminder that success isn't just about having money. It's about having the knowledge and the ability to make smart choices when those opportunities arise. And the richest man in Babylon really drives that point home.
It certainly does. And that brings us to another crucial element of building lasting wealth, understanding the types of investments to pursue or avoid on that path to financial freedom.
Okay, let's talk investments. What insights did those wise Babylonians have that we can apply to our modern lives? What do they recommend and what do they caution against?
One area that emphasized even back then was the value of real estate. Arkad, the richest man in Babylon, points out that land is a finite resource and its value tends to appreciate over time.
It's fascinating how some principles remain constant across centuries. It's like they were saying location, 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 even in ancient Babylon.
Yes, exactly. They understood that as long as you have a plan for generating income from that land, whether through renting or farming, owning property can be a solid foundation for building wealth.
That makes perfect sense. But were there any investments they advised against? What red flags did they warn about?
They cautioned against putting money into fleeting trends or those shiny, tempting objects that offer no real return on investment. They warned against investing in things that don't hold inherent value or generate income.
So basically, the ancient Babylonian equivalent of those limited edition sneakers that lose half their value the moment you take them out of the box.
Precisely. Or, as the book wisely states, forget not the rich men of Nineveh who would take no chance of losing their principal or tying it up in unprofitable investments.
I love that quote. It's a timeless reminder to focus on investments that have lasting value and the potential for sustainable growth.
And to really underscore the importance of making those informed decisions, the book presents us with another captivating parable, the story of Mathon and the Spearmaker. Remember Mathon, our wise gold lender with his intriguing token box?
Oh yes, Mathon and his box of financial wisdom. This is where those tokens representing his past lending experiences come back into play, right?
Exactly. He receives a visit from a spearmaker friend who's been awarded a significant sum of gold by the king, and he's facing a dilemma. His brother-in-law wants to borrow the gold for a new business venture.
Oh, that's tricky. Family loans could be a recipe for disaster. What advice did Mathon offer in that situation? Did he pull out his token box?
He did. He used his token box to share stories, each represented by a token, highlighting the different types of borrowers he'd encounter and the potential pitfalls of lending. He talked about those who handle money wisely, those who are reckless, and even those who fall victim to unfortunate circumstances. It was like a masterclass in assessing risk.
What a brilliant way to illustrate the importance of due diligence. Even when dealing with family, it's about separating emotional ties from sound financial decisions.
Exactly. And ultimately, Mathon, instead of advising the spearmaker to simply lend the gold, suggests a more prudent approach. He recommends that the spearmaker challenge his brother-in-law to present a well-structured business plan, one that Mathon himself would approve of, before even considering the loan.
That's such a wise solution. It protects the spearmaker's investment while also encouraging his brother-in-law to demonstrate his commitment and planning.
Precisely. It emphasizes the importance of having a clear plan, seeking expert advice, and not letting sentimentality cloud your financial judgment.
These stories are so captivating. The richest man in Babylon truly is a treasure trove of wisdom, disguised as an entertaining and engaging read.
It is. And if you're ready to unlock that treasure trove for yourself, be sure to check out the link in the description to get your copy of The Richest Man in Babylon. It's a book that can truly transform your relationship with money.
I couldn't agree more. It's an invaluable resource for anyone seeking financial well-being. Now, are you ready to delve into another captivating story? This one takes us on a journey with the camel trader of Babylon.
Absolutely. Its story beautifully illustrates the power of perspective, resilience, and finding meaning in the face of adversity.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell us about the camel trader and the lessons he has to share. All right, we're back and ready to hear all about this camel trader of Babylon. What's his story and what wisdom can we glean from his experiences?
Well, his name is Dabasir, and believe it or not, he was once a slave in Syria. The story begins with him encountering a young man named Tarkad, who owes him money. Tarkad, being broke and hungry, tries to avoid Dabasir, but they eventually come face to face.
Oh, I can only imagine how awkward that conversation must have been. Debt and avoidance, Not a great combination.
It definitely wasn't a pleasant encounter, but instead of simply reprimanding Tarkad, Abasir decides to share his own story. He explains how he fell into debt and ended up as a slave, emphasizing that anyone, regardless of their circumstances, can find themselves in such a situation.
What led to Davasir becoming a slave? Was it bad financial decisions?
It's actually quite a dramatic tale. Davasir was forced to become a bonded servant to a widow in order to protect his brother from being prosecuted. After a brawl, when his father couldn't raise the money to free him, the widow, fueled by anger and resentment, sold Davasir into slavery.
Wow, that's a harsh turn of events. It really highlights how quickly life can change and how even well-intentioned actions can have unintended consequences.
It certainly does. So Davasir finds himself being transported to Babylon alongside other slaves to work on the city walls.
That sounds incredibly grueling and dangerous. It's hard to imagine facing such hardship.
It was undoubtedly a challenging and perilous situation. But during this arduous journey, Davasir encounters a fellow slave named Megiddo, who has a surprisingly positive outlook on life. Megiddo believes that work, no matter the circumstances, is a man's best friend. He takes pride in his labor even as a slave.
That's a fascinating perspective. It's like finding meaning and purpose even in the darkest of times.
Exactly. Megiddo embodies the idea that we always have the power to choose our attitude, regardless of our external circumstances.
I'm curious, how does Davasir react to Megiddo's unwavering optimism?
Initially, Davasir is skeptical. He kind of scoffs at Megiddo's positive outlook. But as they journey together, he starts to observe Megiddo's dedication to his work, his ability to find joy in the smallest of things, and his unwavering belief in the power of hard work.
Ah, I see where this is going. Megiddo's spirit starts to rub off on Davasir, right? He starts to see the world differently.
Precisely. Megiddo becomes a mentor to Davasir, teaching him the importance of perseverance, finding satisfaction in honest labor, and approaching challenges with a positive attitude.
Okay, but Davasir is still a slave at this point. How does he eventually regain his freedom?
During their journey, they're joined by another slave, a young man named Sharunada. As it turns out, Sharunada is the grandson of Rubemo, a wealthy merchant from Damascus.
Interesting. I have a feeling Sharunada plays a pivotal role in Davasir's fate.
You're absolutely right. Sharunada observes Davasir's transformation, his newfound work ethic, and his commitment to learning from Megiddo. He's particularly impressed by Davasir's unwavering determination to repay his debts, even though he's still a slave.
That speaks volumes about Davasir's character. Even in the face of adversity, he's holding on to his integrity and his commitment to fulfilling his obligations.
Exactly. Harunada recognizes Davasir's potential and believes in him despite his current circumstances. He sees Davasir's detailed plan for repaying his debts and his ambition to become a man of means. So in a remarkable turn of events, Sharunada purchases Davasir's freedom.
Wow, that's incredible. What a testament to the power of hard work, a positive attitude, and the impact we can have on others through our actions.
It truly is. But the story doesn't end there. Sharunada, recognizing Davasir's business acumen and newfound wisdom, proposes a partnership. Together, they travel to Damascus and build a thriving business venture.
What an amazing comeback story. Davasir goes from being a slave to a successful businessman. It's proof that even after facing immense adversity, it's possible to turn your life around with determination, resilience, and an openness to new perspectives.
Davasir's story is incredibly inspiring. And if we think about it, his transformation aligns beautifully with the core principles of the Five Laws of Gold. He seeks guidance from Megiddo. He works diligently to build his savings. And he seizes the opportunity presented by Sharunada.
You're right. It all comes together so perfectly. And you know, it reminds me of the moment when Sharunada asked Davasir about his grandfather's secret to success. And Davasir replies, "It was the only key he had when I first knew him," referring to work as the foundation of his grandfather's achievements.
That's such a powerful statement. It highlights how work, when approached with purpose and dedication, can be the key to unlocking a fulfilling and prosperous life.
And Davasir himself comes to embrace this philosophy, saying, "Many things do I enjoy, but nothing takes the place of work." It's a complete shifted perspective from his initial skepticism.
It really is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's about finding that sense of fulfillment and meaning in our daily endeavors. Work becomes more than just a means to an end. It becomes a source of pride, growth, and contribution to something larger than ourselves.
It's about aligning our actions with our values and finding joy in the process of creating something meaningful.
Exactly. And remember earlier we talked about the importance of investing in real estate. Well, the richest man in Babylon also emphasizes the importance of owning your own home.
Ah, that makes sense. It's about building a solid foundation for your life both literally and figuratively.
Precisely. It's about creating a space of security and stability for yourself and your family.
So we've explored the five laws of gold, the importance of saving, differentiating between needs and wants, seeking wise counsel, being decisive yet cautious, embracing the power of work, owning your own home. Are there any other key takeaways from The Richest Man in Babylon that we should keep in mind?
The book also touches on the importance of ensuring a future income, essentially planning for retirement. It encourages setting up investments or savings early on to take advantage of compound growth over time.
It's never too early to start thinking about our future selves, right? We tend to focus on the now, but securing a comfortable future requires planning and foresight.
Absolutely. And alongside financial planning, the book emphasizes the importance of continually investing in ourselves, honing our skills, and maximizing our earning potential.
It's about recognizing that we are our greatest asset. By nurturing our knowledge, abilities, and talents, we open ourselves up to greater opportunities.
You've got it. The Richest Man in Babylon reminds us that learning is a lifelong pursuit. By expanding our knowledge and skill set, we increase our value and unlock new possibilities.
I love how The Richest Man in Babylon goes beyond simple financial advice. It's a guide to creating a richer, more fulfilling life, both financially and personally. It's about cultivating a mindset of growth, abundance, and continuous learning.
You've captured perfectly. And if you're ready to embark on your own journey of financial and personal growth inspired by The Richest Man in Babylon, be sure to check out the link in the description to get your copy. It's a timeless classic that can truly transform your life.
It's a book that everyone, regardless of their current financial situation, can benefit from. It's packed with wisdom and practical advice that can help you achieve your financial dreams.
It's an investment that will pay dividends for years to come.
Absolutely. And to our amazing listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into The Richest Man in Babylon. We hope you found these stories and principles as enriching and inspiring as we have. Remember, principles outlined in this book are timeless. They applied in ancient Babylon, and they apply just as powerfully today.
The key is to apply these principles to our modern lives. It's about shifting our mindsets, taking control of our finances, and making conscious choices that align with our long-term goals. Remember, wealth that stayeth to give enjoyment and satisfaction to its owner comes gradually because it is a child born of knowledge and persistent purpose.
Such wise words. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
And to all our wonderful listeners, thank you for tuning in to the Chapters of Growth podcast. We hope this deep dive has inspired you to take control of your financial future and build a life of abundance and prosperity. If you enjoyed this episode and want to stay inspired and keep growing, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep reaching for your dreams.